little bit of a palate cleanser after that ridiculous traffic report. So let us bring in Scott Washington, our resident historian, for another round of History Matters. How are you?
Well, very good. I never thought of myself as a palate cleanser, but I think that's a great idea.
You are now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You're a good palate cleanser. That's a compliment, right?
It is a compliment. Yeah. Absolutely.
One person once told me I had extremely grabbable elbows. I have to say, on the list of compliments that I'll remember forever, that's up on the top five.
That is. That's a pretty unusual one. Well, this is a good week. We have some good things, and it's a special time. So if anybody's listening for the first time,
yes,
and you're saying, what is this program? We've been on since January, only place in the nation that does this. We look at this week in history,
yes,
some of the more profound and some of the more ridiculous things that have happened. And today, we've got some really, I think, some good things going on. The last hand crank telephone call is made in 1983 on this date, up in Bryant Pond, Maine.
Oh, interesting. So this is the really old phones where turn the crank
right.
And you can speak in.
That's it.
Interesting. So my parents, my dad worked for the phone company.
Oh, is that right?
Worked for Michigan Bell, Ameritech, and a couple of other, like the same job, but just different companies kept taking it over. But because he worked for the phone company, he had a whole bunch of old timey phones, including
one
of those hand crank phones, which still worked even after 1983, like on into the 90s, we had one of those phones downstairs, and it functioned. You could talk to people on it. You just didn't use the hand
crank. I was going to say, should we call them up now and do that? Anyways, it's a thing to realize that technology does change. It wasn't too long ago that, remember the first cell phones were these giant walkie-talkie contraptions.
The big, huge
things.
Yeah,
they were like 20 minutes of airtime, and now things have just dramatically shifted.
Well, it got to the point where cell phones shrank and shrank and shrank until it was like comically small, and now the technology is going back the other way, and phones are getting bigger and bigger.
Well, that's
good. I switched phones earlier this year, and my phone went from this dinky thing to this huge, massive. People were making fun of my small phones. I'm like, isn't the technology going that way?
Yeah,
like, not anymore, Grandpa.
Well, hard to call them exactly phones. they're these
devices.
Communication devices. Yeah. That makes
talky
a big difference.
Talky thingamabobs.
So history is part of that, is understanding how technology affects us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important thing. This is a date in 1919 when the first airline in-flight meal was served on a Handley Page transport flight, cold box lunch. Now, I'm thinking, these are biplanes. What? They're throwing
Fun fact, the stand-up comedy industry started literally the next day. Someone just got up on stage and was like, ever notice how these box lunches that they serve on the planes?
That's right, and it falls out of the plane.
It hits someone in the head.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. Hey, Grandma, you look better now. I don't know why it was Don Rickles, even in 1920.
You can see that history is not boring. So if you're listening to this, you're going, what kind of a show is this? We tend to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that do happen today. With the Carolina Connection, on this date in 1896, there were lifesavers led by Richard Etheridge.
Yeah, tell me about this, because something I'd never heard of before.
No, and this was a group, the Lifesaving Service was established, of course, along the eastern seaboard. And there were, of course, a number of life-saving stations. But in 1879, a ship wrecked near Pea Island and received no assistance. When they finally stumbled ashore and went to find out, the whole crew was asleep, and they were all fired. And at that point, the senior inspector suggested the appointment of a local African-American veteran, Richard Etheridge, as the new station keeper. And he's a former Army sergeant, and he proved exceptional at his job. He hired a crew composed mainly of veterans with whom he had served. And in 1896, they were instrumental in a dramatic rescue of a schooner, E.S. Newman, which is, just a remarkable testimony to these veterans, and certainly to this particular station that was composed primarily of African-Americans here in North Carolina. which is a great thing.
Yeah.
This is also a day, now I did not know about this, General Pulaski Memorial Day.
Yeah, Pulaski Memorial
this
Day.
This is actually...
It's National Coming Out Day. It's International Day of the Girl Child.
Right.
And it's General Pulaski Memorial
That's
Day.
That's right. Who is a Polish warrior.
American Revolutionary
That's
hero.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who died in the Siege of Savannah. And then has been recognized, and it's been presidential proclamations that have recognized him, which I find truly fascinating, and a tip of the hat to all the good Polish Americans.
And it's also like a Polish American kind of festival, right? Just celebrating just sort of the Polish American contribution.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other two that you mentioned, the International Day of the Girl Child, which is, you're like, what is this? Well, it's because of the girls in the world.
Mm-hmm.
These are, before they're women, these are girls that still are collectively having a hard time getting enough education and getting their civil rights observed.
Yep.
And, of course, National Coming Out
National
Day, which
Coming
is
Out Day. Yep.
An important day that we recognize for the LGBT community. And I think that that speaks to civil rights, and that is part of our American heritage and certainly part of our history, every bit as much as the U.S. Constitution.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, I happen to mention because, of course, Durham Reads Together
tomorrow.
That's right. Is recognizing the U.S. Constitution, only place in the nation that I'm aware of that a public library system is doing a month-long observance for people of all ages. And tomorrow, there is going to be a special program at the Durham Arts Council Theater. And there's some guy that looks a lot like me.
Is it you?
Is going to be there. Yes, it is actually me. At 6:30 p.m., it's free. It's open to the public. Should be good. Also tomorrow is the birthday of somebody who's a real celebrity, Dr. Aaron Keck.
Oh, that's me.
That's right, yes. So, do we send your donations to the station?
Send them to the station, and you know, we'll get them somehow or other.
But really, if you know, if you're around, you know, drop a line. Certainly let Aaron know your wishes for his birthday, because he makes a huge difference.
As long as they're positive. If they're negative, just you know, send me an email or something.
That's right. Call the White House.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Channel your anger somewhere else. But October 12th is a momentous day, not just because it's my birthday and you're speaking at Durham, which, by the way, the Durham Reads is the really, because they do Durham Reads together on a fairly regular basis. It's an annual thing.
Well, it's every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And usually it's around a certain book, but this year they just picked this one. They said,
read the U.S. Constitution.
That's right. And
why
you know,
not?
It is great to read. We know it's the law, but more than that, there are some poetic uses of words. I dare anyone to take a look at those first 10 amendments and to put them into your own words as concisely as anyone can make. And I think that would be a really good thing for everyone to try. But tomorrow night, you'll hear all about North Carolina's connection to why the Constitution received special treatment here and the incredible difference it made when North Carolina changed history at a constitutional convention in 1788. That I happen to know a lot about.
A little bit
and
about,
yes,
yeah.
I'm very enthusiastic about it, so hope anyone listening can come out 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night at the Durham Arts Council Theater. Should
That's
be a
be
lot
good.
Of fun.
Yeah, and October 12th is also University Day as well, so
yes.
All of the great historical things that happened on campus.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
I love being in Chapel Hill because everyone celebrates my birthday. Like, they got a whole event on campus commemorating it. It's great.
Isn't this the day when they lay a cornerstone or
cornerstone
something?
At Old East,
to
found the university, essentially.
Now, that was like October 12th, 1793,
mm-hmm.
So they were already planning for your birthday well in advance.
Oh, yeah, way in advance.
I think
as they should,
know. I think that's a very good
culmination of human evolution and all that.
That's right.
but that also triggers a lot of historical events on campus,
yes.
Because so many University Day commemorations mean some historical events happen throughout history as well.
And on that day tomorrow, 1961, President John Kennedy was speaking to a crowd of 30,000 at Kenan Stadium.
This is also a great Bill Friday story.
Yes, and listen to this quote that Kennedy said, I ask you to give to the service of our country the critical faculties which society has developed in you here. I ask you to decide whether you will be, as Goethe put it, an anvil or a hammer. Now, isn't that a great, a great quote, anytime, any year.
Decide to be an anvil or a hammer.
Yeah.
I like that.
And also tomorrow, 1858, is when Thalen Hall in Wilmington opened up, which has been long used. It's still in use. And in fact, one of my ancestors, Edward Everett, the other speaker at Gettysburg, went on a speaking tour because he really liked Washington. And promoted him in order to save money to build, or actually to raise money to help save Mount Vernon. So Thalen Hall has some special connection.
Edward Everett is your ancestor?
Yes.
I did not know that.
People said, "Oh, you talk a lot." Well, that makes a lot
of sense.
That
would make sense. The other guy, Edward Everett, who is the keynote speaker at Gettysburg.
Yes,
it wasn't,
that's right.
and then the president also said some words.
Well, and you know the thing that Edward Everett did, which was so great, is that when they were first approaching him to be a speaker, mm-hmm. they suggested a date, and he said, no, I need more time, which was really good because the original date in October was one that Lincoln could not attend. He was overseeing a battle, so we might have missed something. So when they had this, Edward Everett goes on for 2 hours describing in great detail. Lincoln has a war to win, and listens, gets up, does his 2 minutes. But luckily, Edward Everett realized the significance mm-hmm. and told him, "Mr. President, you said more in your 2 minutes than I said in my 2 hours." Right. But he was a great person, first person in the country supposedly to have a Ph.D., a governor of Massachusetts, and also president of Harvard.
He's a pretty good speaker.
Yes, he did.
Right.
He championed Mariah Mitchell getting recognition for seeing a comet through a telescope, which got her an award of a gold medal as a result and propelled her into recognition. So good things. All of that was from one particular thing. But also tomorrow is an unusual day called Free Thought Day, which I had not known about.
There's a lot of these sort of international days of the whip it or,
Well, this one goes back.
Dog breed has its day, you know.
This goes back to Massachusetts when they had the witches trial. And finally, Massachusetts Governor William Phipps was writing to the Privy Council of the British monarchs, William and Mary, on this day in 1692, in which he's talking about the quagmire that's been connected because of the evidence of a non-objective nature, especially spectral evidence, mm-hmm. in which the accusers claim to see devils and other phantasms contorting with the accused. And, of course, it was beginning to work its way up. And he was getting a little bit concerned, like, this is not going to work well.
Yeah. Sooner or later, I'm going to be accused, and then...
That's right. Well, you think of, you know, the times we've had the things called the witch trials, or McCarthy in the 1950s accusing everyone of being a communist or something like that. So it is important, and this idea of Free Thought Day, I think, really speaks to something important, which is the importance of rational thought when people are getting hysterical about things.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We've got a couple minutes left. What are the other highlights?
Well, let's see. Sunday, October 15th, 1924, the Statue of Liberty, the 151-foot high gift from the French people, is proclaimed a national monument in 1924, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Was it just sitting there for 50 years, and then it's like, oh man, did you notice this thing in the harbor? We should make it a national thing. Yeah.
Well, it's not going anywhere. She's holding up her hand. Also, supposedly on this date in 1860, October 15th, is when an 11-year-old girl writes the future president, Abraham Lincoln, suggesting he grow a beard. Now, I don't know if this is an apocryphal story or not. I had not heard this one before. And supposedly he wrote back saying it would be silly to start growing a beard, but he did so anyway.
I know, I'm pretty sure, I don't know about her letter to him, but I'm pretty sure that his letter to her still exists.
Is that
right?
I'm pretty sure.
That's an actual thing,
Wow. Wow, that's... That's one of those things like, really? We can actually take a look and say somebody grew a beard because of that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I should mention, you mentioned my birthday is October 12th. Sunday, October 15th is another historical day in history because it's my dad's birthday.
You're kidding.
You're wondering who the two people are standing outside. Those are my parents,
oh,
by the
my
way.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's wonderful. So glad to have them here. Oh, my word.
We've got fans outside today.
That's right.
So,
you can come down here anytime and see radio being done
live.
It's
true.
It's like seeing bread baking live. It's just incredible. And
or Aaron sausage makes, being made, depending on the day.
Aaron makes the difficult look easy, and that's much harder than most people know. And I have great respect and esteem for what
I'm
he
paying
does
him to say
day.
That because my parents are right on the other side of the window.
I know. You're so lucky. We're so glad to have them here. Oh, my gosh. They're about 10 feet tall and beaming from ear to ear.
There you go.
So those are some of the things happening at least this week. But the big thing, of course, is your birthday tomorrow.
Yes, and
the Durham Reads Together.
Durham Reads
US
at 6:30.
U.S. Constitution, Durham Arts Council.
And
come on down.
Yep, Durham Arts Council, 6:30, yep. Morris Street, downtown Durham. Go there and check that out. Scott Washington, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And great to have special guests here, too. Oh, fantastic.